Well, let me welcome you here and welcome also those who are watching online. We're glad to have you. We're here in one way or the other as the family, the friends of Tricia McCaddy, here to remember Tricia, Trish, as some of us knew her, and here to give thanks to God for her. And there is much to give thanks for as a sister, as a sister-in-law, as an aunt, as part of a wider family, for others of us as just a good friend and an encouragement to so many of us. I can speak personally, I think, that I don't think I ever left visiting or speaking with Trish without being encouraged in some way. So there's much to give thanks for, and yet obviously there's much to mourn for too, and yet we do all that in the hope and the faith that Tricia herself professed and lived, and that faith summed up in these words of Paul: "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Tricia had a very firm hand, as it were, on this service. There's lots of things from her. The hymns are chosen by her with Elizabeth's help. They talked about these things, and she particularly wanted these words that I'm afraid we're just going to have to sit and listen to. You can hum along too, I'm sure. You can probably sing quietly too as well, but read the words that are printed there: "Great is thy faithfulness." Now let's sit and listen.
Oh,
And that was Tricia's testimony. Here it is. She said this: I went to Edinburgh seeking a degree. The course proved too challenging, and out of failure, God brought me into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, rewarding years of service in church and girl crusaders, fulfilling work situations, and very many enriching friendships. Great indeed has been God's faithfulness throughout my whole life. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for that testimony to yourself, to your saving grace and goodness, and to your faithfulness down through the years to Tricia. And Lord, as we gather therefore to remember her and to give thanks for her, we pray that you would be faithful to us also in that promise, Lord Jesus, you made long ago, that wherever two or three gather together in your name, you will be there. May we know you. May we know your presence among us, speaking to us, Lord, you who see into our hearts and our minds and know all that lies there, the different thoughts and emotions that inevitably lie there today. Speak to us, Lord, as we bring you our thanks, as we bring to you our sense of loss as well. We thank you that you are able to meet our deepest needs, just as Tricia proved that herself over so many years. So meet with us here, speak to us here. We pray in that same mercy and grace. Hear us then, we ask in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, there are three readings from God's Word. The first two chosen by Tricia and Elizabeth, and then one that I've chosen myself. The first is from Psalm 16 and verse 5 to the end. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And then from John 14, these words of Jesus spoken to his disciples shortly before his death and resurrection. This is from the King James Version. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then these words of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, where he reminds us, the Christian, we have this hope, this treasure, as he calls it, of knowing Christ, and yet we have it in these frail vessels of the human body, what he calls jars of clay. He said this, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. It is written, 'I believed, and therefore I have spoken,' and with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. And therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. I'm grateful to Elizabeth in particular for putting these words together as we look back over Tricia's life. And I'll just add a word or two at the end. Patricia Ann McCaddy was born on the 1st of July 1942 while her father was serving in Burma. She lived in Nairn with her mother and maternal grandparents and didn't see her dad until she was 3 and a half. When her father returned from Burma, the family moved to Inverness, and then the following year, a little sister, Elizabeth, arrived. Tricia had a carefree childhood, lots of happy times with her sister. They often took fits of giggles, usually at the most inappropriate times. She attended Inverness Royal Academy, where she was a very conscientious student, gaining at 18 the required hires to apply to Edinburgh University to study pharmacy. Unfortunately, the course proved too challenging, but as she confirms in her testimony, she became a Christian. And while there, Tricia then took a position at Ferrante's, also in Edinburgh, where she met her lifelong friend Moira. At this point, she started to attend Holyrood Church, where she met her friend Norna and her sister Pamela. Tricia and Norna spent many happy holidays together over the years in various parts of the world. And after some time at Ferranti, she decided to train as a nursery nurse. And on completion of the course, took a post in a day nursery. And while she was there, she met someone who worked at Humby Children's Village just outside Edinburgh, who described the desperate needs of the children there. And Tricia felt called, therefore, to serve there too. Unfortunately, after a spell there, she contracted hepatitis and spent some weeks in the city hospital. But having made a full recovery, she returned to Humby. Some months later, she had a chance encounter on a train from Edinburgh to Inverness with her former headmaster, who told her about the opening of a new school in Inverness for children with special needs. Thus it was that a few months later, Tricia found herself assisting in Craig Fadrick School. And at this point, she returned to live in the family home where she was able to help her mum when she took ill. After her mum's death, her dad developed dementia, and Tricia lovingly cared for him for some years until it became impossible for her to cope, at which point he moved to Mealmore Nursing Home. On Tricia's return to Inverness, she resumed attendance at the West Church with the family, and she also started a crusader group for girls assisted by her good friend Sheila. After the arrival of her nephew Andrew and her niece Katrina, Tricia became a very loving auntie. She would have them to stay for a few days every so often and would take them to all sorts of exciting places. After her father's death, Tricia once again took on caring responsibilities, first with one cousin and then another. And after their death, at long last, Tricia had some time for herself. And by that time, the West Church had moved and become Inches. And since then, Tricia has been blessed with so many lovely friends, including a special group called the Walking Girls. In 2016, January, Tricia was diagnosed with bowel cancer and spent most of that year in and out of hospital. Thankfully, by the following year, she'd made a good recovery and was able to resume her normal life. After much prayer and deliberation in August 2019, she moved to 8 Oakwood Court, which opened up many opportunities for her and introduced her to a wonderful community of new friends. She was happy there. Tricia was a wonderful sister, sister-in-law, auntie, and friend. And if I can add just a little to that, I find it very difficult to sum Tricia up. Paul speaks about being a Christian and a Christian servant as having treasure in jars of clay. That picture of something of eternal, infinite value, but contained within the frailty, the fragility of our human lives. Treasure in jars of clay. And somehow for me, Tricia illustrates that, because physically there was so little of her, and yet behind that small, quiet, gentle frame, there was so much hidden. There was strength, God-given strength, gentle strength, but strength. There was perseverance, there was patience, there was gratitude. It didn't matter what the situation was, she always seemed to find reason to be grateful. But then she had come to faith in Jesus through the apparent failure and disappointment of dropping out of university. And she had witnessed God's providence in that, bringing blessing out of such pain and disappointment. And so she trusted him through all the disappointments and challenges of her life. Certainly that's what I saw in these last years. And then there was the spirit of a servant, seen in her care for her family, for the children she served in much of her work, the children of the church, for others, and her prayer for others, faithful in prayer. How many owe so much to Tricia under God? I testified to that last Sunday in relation to my own wife, Susan, whom Tricia, as a trainee leader, had been given to pray for ahead of a girls' crusader camp, which she and Susan, who was a teenager at that time, was attending for the first time in 1973. Susan was 14. It was a big camp. They never met until 2013, when we came to Inches and Tricia introduced herself and asked my Susan if she was Susan Harmon. And of course she was, and told her that not only had she prayed for her in the run-up to that camp, where Susan became a Christian, but she had prayed for her ever since. And that, for us, was just such a humbling thing, to pray for so long for someone without meeting her until that particular day. You know, C.S. Lewis has a section in his book Mere Christianity in which he says this: If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, he says, that doesn't prove that this universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. And then he says this, he says, if that's so, I must take care on the one hand never to despise or to be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other, never to mistake them for the something else of which they're only a kind of copy or echo or mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find until after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that country and to help others do the same. And that for me was Tricia. She was grateful for all the earthly blessings she enjoyed, but she never mistook them for the real thing. She had found that or been found by that in Christ. And through all her pleasures and through all her pains, she kept alive that desire for her true country, which now she has found by the grace of faithfulness of God in Christ. She's pressed on to that new country, and the life and the legacy that she has left surely helps us and encourages us to do exactly the same. I don't find it difficult to imagine Tricia singing the words with which Elizabeth concluded her words about her sister, the words of the song that will play us out at the end, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Well, let's pray again together. God, our Father, it is in a spirit of thanksgiving and praise that we come to you. We're very aware of so many different things that you have done through your saving love and grace in Tricia's life. Thank you for all that you gave to her and what you have given to us through her and to many others too. We thank you, Lord, as we look back and think of what you gave her through her family, her parents, as she was growing up at home, in school, in church. We thank you for bringing her to faith in yourself and your son during her time in Edinburgh, and for the many ways in which you then guided and provided for her throughout her life, opening up avenues in work, in church, in family, where she could serve you and serve others. We think of her especially today as a sister, and we thank you for all that she was to Elizabeth and she to her, for their enduring and encouraging friendship. We thank you too for what she came to mean as a sister-in-law to Pat and then as an aunt to Andrew and Katrina, and again for her enduring love for and interest in them and their lives. And we think of her place in the wider family as a niece, as a cousin. Lord, so many different memories in the context of family aroused by today and no doubt aroused in the future. And we again give you thanks for everyone that is precious. We thank you too for enduring friendships with so many different folk in Edinburgh and Inverness in particular. We think of our love and concern for children and young people, which expressed itself in our work in Edinburgh and here in Inverness, in church, in Girls Crusaders, in so many different contexts, and how we thank you for many young lives that you touched through Tricia, whether by her actions, her attitudes, or indeed her prayers. And thank you for all that so many received as a result of her faithful prayer. And we remember too the friendships she made in her time in Drumdevon and then latterly at Oakwood Court. And in all of this, Lord, we thank you for what she was in herself, that quiet, unassuming manner, that willingness to listen, her humour, the postcards she loved to send, the stamps she encouraged so many of us to collect, the patience, the gratitude, the inner strength and acceptance of whatever came her way. We're very conscious that she would have been the first to say to us, not I, but Christ in me, to give you glory. And yet, Lord, that encourages us because the grace that she found and received and displayed is so freely available to us all in Christ. Lord, we think of these last weeks and months and thank you for those who have cared and supported Trish. We thank you for Elizabeth and Pat in particular. Thank you for Jean. We thank you for those at Oakwood, for the carers, medical, nursing staff who helped at home and the staff latterly at Castle Hill as well. And now, Lord, we commit Tricia to your keeping. And for her, we know it is far better, and yet we're conscious too of the void that she leaves in the hearts of lives of all who have loved her and who will miss her. And we pray again in that regard, particularly for Elizabeth and for Pat, for Andrew, for Katrina, for the wider family, for Trish's many friends. Lord, we pray that you would come to each one in your mercy. And again, as we think of this gift of life that you've entrusted to each of us, may we be encouraged by those who have gone before us, to whom you have revealed indeed the path of life. Lord, help us to follow in their footsteps, which ultimately is to follow in yours. Lord Jesus, hear as we pray, and hear our unspoken prayers, the cries of our hearts. We ask all in your name and for your sake. Amen. Just before we conclude with our final hymn, and then there's a piece of music on the way out, the words of the tune of How Great Thou Art. But we're just to thank all who are both here and those who have joined online as well on behalf of Elizabeth and the family. And just to reiterate the invitation there, if you do want to give anything in memory of Tricia, then there it's Blythewood that you're encouraged to do that if you would like to. So we're going to listen, to hum along to sing quietly to be the words of Be Still, My Soul. This was Trish's choice, and she asked this be read out just before we listened to it. This hymn, she said, was sung by Jim Elliot and his fellow missionaries just before they were slain by Auca Indians. His death meant life for me, for I was challenged to face up to the claims of Christ on my life while reading his biography. Be still, my soul.
In my soul.
And so may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and always. Amen.